Hi
there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the silly new podcast called The Smut Couch.
Woo.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Alexandros.
Okay, this is our first time, so we're kind of like truly figuring it out as we go. But thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for coming on by.
Yeah. Okay, so what we want to be doing is we're to give you guys a background on this whole situation. We are to. I always used to say girlies, but can I call you a girlie?
I'm a girlie. I'll be a girlie. Right,
we're
now.
Girlies who love to read books and books of a certain nature. So we always talk about them at work, and we get all of our friends to read these books at work. And we would do it on a specific couch at work.
Mm-hmm.
And we called it the Smut Couch. And we're not going to say where we work because we don't want to get in trouble. Period. Because of the nature of stuff. But we love to talk about all of these smutty booky poos on this silly little couch at work. And we were like, what if we talked about it on camera so everyone else could listen?
Ooh.
Yeah. Anything to add?
Just that Smut Couch is mostly what is read on the couch.
That's a good thing to clarify. Yeah, it's reading, and like it's because you're reading it doesn't matter because it's a solitary.
You can read anything.
It's okay. A solitary activity. So don't worry, guys. It's not scary.
Yeah,
we're just reading.
I was imagining a couch with some weird suspect stains on it somewhere.
No, it's a normal couch that people just read on. Just the primary material tends to be of a smutty nature.
Right, because of TikTok, we all read some specific things and we all love to chit-chat about it. But don't worry, it's not as scary as it sounds. I think I'm just so used to saying it now. Mm-hmm. Like, the Smut Couch.
We're numb to it. And people, every time I mention it to somebody, like, oh, have you heard of the Smut Couch? They go,
right. What? Well, like, because all of our friends know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But other people are like, girl, what did you just say? I'm like, oh, no, it's not scary.
No, it's not that. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Period.
It's wholesome literature that
not
has
really.
Mind in the gutter.
Yeah.
The books are the wrong things, not us.
Exactly. And we just like to chit chat about our silly little smutty books. Things like ACOTAR, A Court of Thorns and Roses, stuff like that.
Throne of Glass.
Throne of Glass.
Dramione is a big thing.
Dramione.
That we hope to talk about at some point.
Oh, period. So yeah, we kind of want to talk about anything like smut related, but smut can be truly anything. Like smut can be books, smut can be TV, movies. Anything. So it's kind of fun because like open-ended, like whatever we want to talk about in like a smut category, like just stuff that you really enjoy that maybe sometimes can be a little of a sensitive nature.
Of a sensitive nature.
You know what I mean? That was a professional way to say it. Come on.
That's a good way to say it.
Thank you. But like I said, it's like reading. So it's like nerdy little vibes, reading our little books. It's not scary. Period.
All right. And then with that in mind, should we move
on
to what we're doing today then?
Sure. Okay. So we're actually not talking about something that's smutty today. We're talking about The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Yes.
The Hunger Games. Because smut is a state of mind. Smut, it's
a way of being.
Exactly. It's not a strict rule. You know what I'm saying? We just like to chit-chat about our little books. And it's just fun vibes. It's not academic vibes. It's smut vibes.
Absolutely.
Period. Okay, yes.
This is a good first one to dip our toes in the water real quick.
Period. And then we'll talk about crazy stuff later. When we talk about Manacled or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Anyways, if you're not on the Dramione
episodes.
Period. If you're not on the Dramione train.
Get on it right now.
Get on it.
Don't turn away just because it's fan fiction, please.
No.
Please. It's so good.
It's literature.
It's so good.
Yeah, Dramione, Draco and Hermione. Fan fiction.
It's an American contemporary piece of art.
Period. And it's taking something and making it better. J.K. Rowling. Whoops.
Anyway.
Anyways. So today we're talking about Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Icon.
I love it. Probably my favorite book of the trilogy that came before it.
Really?
I really liked it. And maybe that's just because I'm a toxic white man too. So I really was just like, this guy gets it. I felt so, no.
Oh, okay,
no,
good.
I'm not like him. I feel the need to
period.
Adequately state that for the record.
He's
no,
not, I promise.
No.
Slay. I also like the resurgence of Hunger Games too is something that I think is so wild that we're currently seeing.
That Josh Hutcherson meme of whistle. I can't. Why is that a video from 2014 that I'm just
obsessed.
Now seeing?
Did you see? I'm also a huge Swiftie and Alexandra, you're a Swiftie too.
Yes.
Did you see the thing on the when we all thought that Reputation was going to be announced?
Yes.
And they were like, oh, Taylor Swift announcing Reputation. It was a video, but then it just ended up being the Josh Anderson meme.
I sent that to someone.
It's our Rickrolling.
I like this Rickroll better because like...
Because it's Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah, it is Josh Hutcherson. That's a... That'll do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway.
Have you seen the whole 3-minute video of that?
No.
It's just a cover of Whistle with different photos
what
of
is
Josh
Whistle?
Hutcherson. Have you not heard Whistle by Flo Rida?
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Work.
Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby.
Yeah. Oh!
Oh, yeah, you know. There's no way you don't know that.
You guys know. It's the picture of Josh Hutcherson with his hands behind his head. Oh, baby.
Hitting the smolder, yeah.
I live. Okay, anyways, back on track. Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, the iconic 2020 book. What is my password to this? The way I can't remember.
It's going to be an important thing to know.
Anyways, so we're currently living through our lovely Hunger Games resurgence. Were you a Hunger Games kid?
I read it when I was in middle school, and like I liked it, and I liked the movies. It lost me at Mockingjay a little bit, which I think is a pretty consistent thought for the most part.
Right.
It's like, because you know, it loses the edgy of ooh, life and death games, and becomes just you know a
war.
Revolution war
right.
book, and it's like okay,
I get you.
I did like all the PTSD, the drama that was going through Katniss's head. All
you liked throughout. The PTSD,
like I like reading. POV. Wait.
Work. Yeah, I was
it's
in a Hunger Games
reading.
Period. I was a Hunger Games girly. So when Miss Thing dropped this book in 2020, I was so excited.
Okay.
Did you read it right when it came out?
I read it right when it came out. I started a book club actually with
you
it.
You did?
Yeah. It was just for that. It only lasted that book because someone didn't read the book at all in it. And we were like, all right, well, this is dead in the water then.
Period. It was something I was so excited about. And then I literally didn't read until the movie came out. Oh, there it is. Iconic. See it?
Oh, yes. There it is.
So, for those who don't know, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is a prequel about President Coriolanus Snow.
Coriolamus.
And how he becomes, like, the President Snow that we know and hate.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And I live.
It was so good.
It was so good.
It's so interesting to see his POV from it, how he gets to, you know, because the book versus the movie is very interesting because the movie kind of plays him off quite sympathetically for the most part, I think.
Right. Well, I think that my main worry with the movie, and I loved the movie, do not get it twisted, but my main worry was most of the like, what am I trying to say? You hear him, you see him become like President Snow through his thoughts. Mm-hmm.
His internal monologue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His internal monologue is horrifying.
Wild.
Horrifying. And so I was really nervous because I'm like, how are we going to express that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I do think it did a good job, but I think it's hard to ever make it so.
Yeah, that's always with any adaptation.
Exactly.
So I really like the adaptation.
I loved the adaptation.
Obviously, they didn't get everything in it, and you can't get that mental, he's thinking things, because that third act moment, with which we'll get to, if
you're
falling apart, that's very wild.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So it kind of starts with, you know, Corio. He's a student at the academy, and it's the 10th. Hunger Games, right? It's the 10th.
Big number 10. Number 10. That's
number
right.
10. And 10 years before, the Capitol
won the war against
the war.
Districts.
But a lot of the people in the Capitol are kind of poor and they're recovering.
Mm-hmm.
Snow being one of the poor people. He is struggling with his family.
And he is a grade A poser, though.
He is.
Gaslights all his friends and colleagues. Because I don't even say he has friends, actually. He doesn't like any of them.
No, well, because his only friend is Sejanus, but he doesn't even really like Sejanus.
No, he wants to, like, kind of use like, Sejanus as the thing.
Yeah.
For the most part, because he's like, oh, your dad's rich.
It's he's one of those characters where it's like anybody that he's friends with is because he's using them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a way where even if he recognizes it or not, I think, because I think in his mind he thinks he cares for Sejanus. Sejanus being... a figure who came from the districts and is very rich because his family...
His father, like, weapons or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was
specifically.
District 2 is... District 2 is weapons, but his father was able to move them to the Capitol, which is a huge...
Right, and so Sejanus is struggling with that change, coming to the Capitol and being, like,
still
fresh
being
blood.
An outsider, too.
Yeah.
Because he's district, and there's that huge... gap between the people that you were the ones that we were fighting against, and you did this to us from the Capitol.
Right.
So they didn't like him.
And Sejanus is kind of the only one who's like, this is kind of fucked up. He's the only one.
Kids killing each other.
He's like, wait, what? This is kind of crazy because, I mean, if he hadn't have moved, he would have been in the reaping as well. So he's like, this is kind of wild. Whereas all of the other capital kids, they're like, well, this is how it goes.
It is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have as close of a personal connection to
exactly
why it's happening. But exactly. I think early on, it's very clear that nobody really likes the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Right.
Compared to how we see it, you know, in the Hunger Games.
In
like the first
Hunger Games. I know. It's so interesting because, yeah, as you know, if you've read and seen the movie, they weren't as, like, popular because they were all the Capitol makes the Hunger Games eventually, like, a spectacle. Thing, yeah. It's like the Olympics. Like, it's a big deal. But, yeah, no one really watched it during
the
10th.
It's just a pit with weapons right now. They throw the kids in there and they're like, all right, now kill
literally,
each other.
They, like,
maybe a day.
They throw the kids into SoFi and they're like, knock each other out. Right? No, it's literally giving an arena. They're like, go ahead.
You have fun.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
We got to wrap this up by 8, though. Taylor's coming to play.
And that's on period. Yeah, we got a time crunch. So, yeah, it's anyways. So Sejanus is like his only friend who's like from the district, whatever. And he's trying to get this like plinth prize, trying to get money from Sejanus' family.
He needs it.
He needs the money. Because yeah, they kind of are struggling post-war.
They are struggling so bad.
Yeah.
They did not recover during that war, but he has been playing up like everything is fine. I remember like when he shows up, he's talking about how he's starving technically, but he's talking about,
eating.
I couldn't possibly eat another bite. Like he's playing the part so well, which is so interesting to see.
And that's why I think he is an interesting character is because
absolutely. Yeah.
He's struggling. He is struggling and he believes he deserves this stuff because he's working hard.
He was definitely put through it.
Yeah.
That doesn't justify.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Him being just the worst.
Right. So long story short, what the school that he goes to, they're like, okay, for this year's Hunger Games, we're going to have mentors for all of the kids, the tributes. And the mentors are going to be the top students of this class, being people like Sejanus and Coriolanus.
Mm-hmm.
So the reaping happens and they're all assigned a tribute.
Yes.
And Coriolanus is assigned Miss Lucy Gray Baird. Is that what it is?
That's
from District 12.
Pronunciation. Yeah.
Thank you. I was like, Beard, Baird, it's Baird. Yeah. And Miss Girl is a singer. Mm-hmm. And Miss Girl is over it. And the first thing you see her do is put a snake in this girl's dress, which
right
is wild.
Reaping.
Mm-hmm. And Miss Girl, she's not for it, obviously, because she's going to die. But she's, like, different from everybody else.
Yeah, she wears a colorful dress,
she wears
guys.
colorful ruffles.
And she sings.
And she sings Miss Rachel Zegler, who I adore. But I know that's controversial. What are your thoughts on her?
She's been making a comeback now because she did such a good job in this.
I know.
And I think, like, people are realizing that a lot of the hate they had towards her for that one interview is kind of, it's a bit much. And
I
it kind of blew out of proportion a bit.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, he gets this singer. And he's like determined to win the Hunger Games.
He was actually pissed that he got her though, because she was scrawny and she was like weak, and no one from 12 had won yet.
Yeah, she's not a career.
Yeah, well, they don't really have careers yet, is the thing.
True, but she's not.
Doesn't become. She's not like a strong fighter. Essentially, is
right. She's an artist. She's not a fighter. She's an artist.
All right. The joke is sing your way out of this one. And, you know.
And boy, does she.
Wait for it. Spoilers.
Yes.
She's
right.
She's going to sing her way out of it.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, to make a long story shorter, she starts singing and everyone's like kind of enamored by her, but also weirded out by her. Mm-hmm. And his sister or his cousin, Tigress, is like reasons with Corio because he's like annoyed. And she's like, well, like, maybe she could win. He's like, maybe. And also think about how scared she is. Think about how like her life is over.
That sucks.
That
yeah.
sucks. Maybe you should go. And he's like, oh, maybe I should go meet her. So
go meet her. I had this great idea.
But he's the only one who does. Because he like needs to win somehow or something.
He's desperate enough.
Right.
Like,
right.
He's delusional enough to think that he's as desperate as the tributes are, is what's crazy.
Alexander, that is a great point.
I have a couple of those, yeah.
You do have a couple of
those. I did a Socratic
those.
Seminar in high school once or twice.
Okay, period. Yeah, he is. He believes that he's in as difficult of a position as they are, even though it's just money, whereas it's their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Work. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go get to know her, whatever. Gives her a flower, and she's kind of like, who are you? And they're both kind of like...
They cast a really hot guy for the movie, so I'm assuming book one, also pretty good looking.
Yeah, period. So they were like, And they get to know each other. And he gets like mixed up with all of them and ends up in cages.
Yes,
in the zoo.
Sneaks on in there. Yeah.
Yeah. They keep the kids in the zoo.
Yeah. I think I love how in the book it's like the only other thing in the zoo is like a raccoon.
Is that really?
That's like the only other thing that they could have. And there's like one other animal too. I can't remember what it is right now. But like, yeah, the capital quote unquote zoo just has like a raccoon in it.
I'm screaming.
And then they have a cage for, you know, for the tributes as well. They're like, oh, hey, it's a multi-purpose zoo now. Here we go.
Damn. Okay.
So all the animals, you know, died during the war.
Oh, true. Well, they probably also ate them.
Well, I didn't say how they died.
Yeah, so they keep all of the tributes in the cages, devastating. And he's kind of like, you think that he's like, this is kind of messed up, you know? Because you're like, the whole time you're kind of, you know what he's going to become, but you expect the best.
Yeah, you're like, oh, maybe multiverse. It's going to be a different scenario.
Yeah, it's
going to
turn out.
Happy ending.
Which, all the credit to Suzanne. Suzanne 8. Anyways, so Miss Girl, he's like, oh, she's a singer. I got to use this. This is when the idea of like sponsorship comes. This whole like game and movie and book and everything is setting up what we know later as the Hunger Games.
And it does it very well.
Yeah.
It's so natural the way progresses and how most of it was Snow's ideas when he, did he become a game maker later on?
I believe so. I think he becomes a game maker and then
president.
Right. Yeah. I want to know more. I'm like, you guys could make more.
They could, but I think Suzanne is saying no because, like, she doesn't want to keep writing Hunger Games books until, like, she wants to write a book about it, if that makes sense.
I mean, that would explain the gap between.
Then you get, like, a bunch of dilution of, like, content and stuff. And you're like, all right, well, this is all just okay now.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Anyways, so the Hunger Games. So the 10th Hunger Games. Also, Caesar is Stanley Tucci.
Caesar is the son, yeah.
Yes, lucky we got this the same like
the host.
Types of host guy as
and
previously.
I am so surprised that like this guy kind of ate Stanley Tucci up in the movie.
Okay, I think that's crazy.
He didn't eat him up. Sorry, that's too excessive. But
yeah,
he did such a great job with like a different vibe for it that I was
like,
damn, I didn't think anyone was gonna be able to like arguably top.
Yeah,
Caesar Flickerman. Lucky
you
kind of came in swinging hard.
I know.
It's up to the judges for this one because it was no clear winner.
And one of my favorite things about the Hunger Games, and you kind of were saying this earlier before we started, is like you're watching and you're like, this is horrifying. Why am I laughing?
Mm-hmm.
This is horrifying. Why am I watching this? This is horrifying. Why do I care about these people who are a part of such a terrible institution? And I think that's what's so magical about the Hunger Games. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. Because it messes with your mind. And I also think watching the Hunger Games as an adult, because I first watched and read these when I was like 15.
Yeah.
And doing it now, you're like, this shit's really fucked up.
Bad, guys. Hold on. Kids shouldn't be killing each other.
Yes. Like at the beginning.
It's like your age. You're like, I could do this. Hold on.
But kids shouldn't be killing each other. But these kids are killing each other because the adults are making them kill each other, which is wild. And what also is so crazy about it is that it's not that far off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the horrifying thing about the Hunger Games is that it's so, you're like, that will never happen. That'll never happen. And then I feel like every year it gets more relevant.
I think that's what's so good about this is that, like, we've talked about this, that you see the progression, how it wasn't just instantly like, it's a reality show of killing people. It was definitely a slow build up to it over 70 years, essentially.
Yes. And have you heard Suzanne talk about why she wrote this book?
No, I haven't.
She said it's really sad, to be honest. And she wrote it in like the early 2000s because she would be flipping the channels between like Survivor and like reality shows and then watching kids dying in the Iraq war. So like, and when you like really think it, you're like, damn. Because that's what it is. We're watching it on TV. We're watching people in reality shows fighting for their lives. No, they're not. They're fighting. You know what I mean? We're watching it for entertainment and then we change the channel and then we see horrific things happening. And I love, I mean, it's terrible to say, but that's why I love The Hunger Games because it's so real. And like, because we read a lot of the stuff that we read is so fantastic and so out of.
Yeah. Full like fantasy world with different creatures. And
right.
Everything. Yeah.
But this is not that far off. Yeah. And it's, I think with age, you realize that. I was talking to my mom about this and I was like, Mom, you want to see The Hunger Games? And my mom said to me, she's like, I don't know if I could take it right now. There's too much. There's too much going on in the world. And as a mom, I don't know if I can watch that. I'm like, damn, that's true.
I watched it opening night.
I did too. I went by myself. But I mean, like, she's watching it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, it's true. Like, it's scary. And that was my whole thought process watching it. I didn't think this so much. I mean, I think a lot has progressed within the past few months politically. And we won't get too much into it. But a lot. And so I think I read it with a different set of, like, set of eyes than I watched it now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what
you mean. And it's, oh my gosh, it's wild. And so all the credit to Suzanne. You wait. Okay. Tangent over.
Where were we?
Cage. Lucky, well, Zuckerman. Lucky. So yeah, the Hunger Games becoming the spectacle that they are is something that is really prevalent in this book.
Yes.
And we find that they don't like parade them through the Capitol. Mm-hmm. They don't dress them up. They keep them in the same clothes.
It's an interesting thing because they also didn't feed them at all or anything.
They didn't feed them. They didn't
feed them. Two of them are very sick, Jessup and Dill.
Dill. Poor
Jessup
Dill.
Is the other district tribute from District 12 mm-hmm. with Lucy Gray.
He
gets bit by a bat, mutt, or something like that.
And he gets like rabies or something.
So he gets infected with some rabies that they don't know until a little bit later on. And then Dill is, as is quoted, ill Dill / tuberculosis on legs, which...
Is that from the book?
That's from the movie for sure. I did not remember
Ill
that from
Dill?
The book at all. I think that was just Jason Schwartzman, I think, was the actor.
Oh,
him
no.
just saying stuff.
Ill Dill.
It
that's
was just
wild.
So funny to me.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's so fucked up.
It is.
But it's had me giggling a little bit.
Yeah. So the kids aren't in the state that we know them, like Katniss and PETA, to be going into the games. And they're also like, it's not, the Capitol's not watching it.
Yeah,
they're
no
like, ratings aren't, no one's watching the Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a,
yes, the chief game maker is also like the chief scientist of the Capitol.
Right.
Or something like that.
Viola Davis. Icon.
Speaking of eight.
Oh, eight.
Absolutely.
The actors in this movie are crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're like, no one's watching. And this is to remind everyone who's in charge and to keep everyone scared.
Absolutely.
Should we be doing something to require them to watch or to make them watch? And this is where the idea like kind of comes to Corio. He's like, we need to make people care.
Yeah.
And the way we make people care is to make them care about the people and turn them into like sympathetic figures.
Yes.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah. I was like, who's going to watch it if they care about who's in it?
Yeah, everyone they have no stakes.
They want the person they care about the most to win.
Exactly.
And that's when he comes up with the idea for sponsors as well to bring in a little bit of money for the games.
Bring in money.
It's like, hey, and you can give them water, some food. That's
imagine
all it
that.
Is right now.
Give them water and food.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Wild. And then Miss Lucy Gray also is the reason why it becomes such a show, because they have like a moment where they're like being interviewed or whatever, and she comes out with her guitar, theater kid that she is, mm-hmm. and starts singing. And he's kind of like, do you think straight out the bat he loves her?
No, I don't think so. I think he's very much a capitalist purist, and that's like what his mentality is the entire time, is how much better the Capitol is than the districts, and how the districts, you know, they did this to themselves. They deserve it. He is a victim blamer through and through.
Yeah.
And as long as he is, you know, he's always innocent. That's like his main mentality for things. So I don't think he's in love with her at all until I think we didn't talk about the explosion, did we?
No,
we didn't.
So that, I forgot about that.
That's okay. So basically, they're touring the arena with their tributes at one point. And there's a huge explosion done by quote unquote rebels. There's a theory that Gaul, the game maker, uh-huh. did it herself. So that, starters, the president's son, who's another.
He was so annoying.
Could get potentially killed too.
Really? It was like
an assassination
attempt?
As like a way to like build up hatred for the districts again, because it had been dwindling. People are tired of fighting and death and war. They're like, we just want this to be over. We want to forgive and forget. And Gaul knows that's not the way this is going to work, and I won't stand for that. So there's a theory that she
did it.
Did all the bombs. That's why there were already cameras like in the vents and like in the tunnels and stuff like that. It's like,
yeah,
how were they already there? Interesting. I mean, it's okay that there are cameras. That's not weird in and of itself. But it's just weird that this rebel cell has been dormant for 10 years, allegedly.
And just now started to bomb something.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it gets bombed when they're like touring it, or they're like,
yeah, they're just walking around just to get a good layout of the land.
Right.
And
Corio's there with Lucy Gray.
Yes.
And she saves him.
Yeah.
And do you, so you think that was the turning point for him?
I think that was a big moment because she did something for him.
For him?
Yeah. If that work. Makes sense. And I think that's a key thing for him to be like, oh, wait, she might be okay if she almost died for me.
Right.
We'll see.
And so then they're both kind of making eyes to each other. But do you think she loves him or do you think she's just trying to find a way out?
I don't know.
100%. I think it's both. I think that she's finding a way out, but she's also finding companionship in him. Mm-hmm. And I think she's scared of him, which clearly.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he controls everything about her.
Right. And I think it's also a little Stockholm syndrome-y. Like, yeah. He is the reason. Well, yeah. But I think that goes both ways. But she, for him, she's his property, too.
And he, there's a whole thing about that, like, later on. We'll talk about that later once we get to that point.
Yeah.
About how he wishes that she would still, like, belong to him, essentially.
Yeah.
In a cage.
Okay, well, let the games begin, I guess.
All right.
So yeah, important to note, when the bomb went off, one of the kids ran away.
Yes, that was Sejanus's
Sejanus,
sorry.
Don't forget the anus.
Sejanus, can't forget the anus. Oh my gosh. Help. Please forgive me. I will
you
never
said
forget
it too
the
normally.
Anus again.
It was so wrong.
I think that's how I always say it in my head.
Really?
Sejanus's tribute that he was mentoring was actually his friend from District
2
grew up with. And I feel like we need to mention that.
I forgot.
And that's wild. That's just like, imagine like your old friend. You're like, hey.
Your schoolmate? Your peer?
Yeah.
And didn't his dad make it that way to punish him?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't know if his
so.
Dad. Is that's, that might be in the book, that I and I don't remember it then. I thought they were signed.
If not, that's good theory.
And Sejanus kind of gets on my nerves, I'm going to be honest.
Does he?
He does because he has the money or like and the inheritance potential to like really make change. And instead he sits there like, and I get there's the moral qualms about it.
Right.
But yelling, going, this is not okay, is not going to change anything. You got to play the game a little bit. Similar to.
He is a kid.
That's true. That's true. But we'll get to that.
They're all children.
In the 12. Arc
period
when they get there.
Okay, so the games begin. Yeah, one of the kids is missing before
several
it starts.
Of them are dead. Yeah, one of the tributes, we forgot that Arachne, one of Corio's friends, quote-unquote friends,
yeah,
or classmates, who was a mentor, got stabbed in the neck by a broken bottle by one of the tributes for like taunting.
She was she's like, oh, like,
you want food?
That bitch like, got what she deserved,
period. All right. Yeah.
Yes. Which I saw, so that's actually her name, Arachne. That's a myth. It's a Greek myth.
Greek,
you should know.
I know. Yes, yeah. I know.
I'm like, why am I telling you?
No, go ahead. Go on.
Because that's
I'll
what happens
you.
To her. I mean, now I'm scared, but because that's what happens to that in that myth, right? They're
she
like,
she gets stabbed by a glass bottle.
No, but it's a play on that. That's what I saw. It's like a literary reference.
It could be, yeah.
Because they all of
it
their
never
names,
goes well for Arachne. Yeah.
Yeah. All of their names are literary references, like Coriolanus, Sejanus. They all come from Dr. Gull. I don't remember what they all were, but a lot of them are like Shakespearean figures or like mythic people.
Sejanus, because he gets fucked in the butt the entire
Alexandros, that was crazy for you to say.
He just does the entire book. He just doesn't have a good time.
Period.
He's just getting fucked the entire time.
That's true.
That's the anus part of his name. It's not a fun time.
You're wild for that one. You're wild for that one. Okay, so the game, baby, let the games begin. The games begin.
They should have played that.
They should
start.
Have. Yeah,
that would have been my stylistic choice as a director.
Period. Yeah, bring us Taylor. She was in the last one. She was in the Hunger Games. Bring us Taylor. And
she
so
just
they
played those as the surprise songs the other day.
I know. That kind of made
She's
my
really
heart happy.
She's running out of songs, isn't she?
Okay, that song eats, though.
It does. No, I know.
Yeah. Okay, so the games begin. Yeah, some of them are already dead. Drama. It kind of goes as it did in the old in the original ones where they go a lot of them go at each other immediately and some of them flee.
Yeah. But this time the game is completely different because when it was just SoFi Stadium before, now it's SoFi Stadium plus the basement as well. And you can go into the stands now because of those explosions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot more places to go. It's not just, you know,
right.
One room.
Yeah. And those kids sure are killing each other.
Oh boy, they are.
And then just to kind of skip ahead, yeah, they kind of get taken out one by one. Oh, poor little Wovie too.
Wovie,
which that's something that I actually wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's in the book, what do they say about her?
I don't think, because
she doesn't have Down syndrome in the book, does she?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And that's something that I really enjoyed too about this movie was the disability representation. Because she had Down syndrome.
One kid with the eye was missing.
There was one kid with one eye. One kid with one hand. Like, I was like, wow, because these people are coming from all these places. Of course, there's going to be people who get chosen who have different abilities than others. But poor little Wovey.
Yes, and the way she dies in the movie is heart-wrenching.
It's very different in the book.
Yeah, isn't in the book, it's with some poison that Lucy Gray placed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that would have probably... really,
I think that they would have lost a lot of sympathy for Lucy Gray if she did that to her.
Well, see, the thing is that they did a very good job because in the movie, Dill, the one from District 11, who tuberculosis on legs, once again, as she's called.
Ill Dill.
Got me so well with that.
That's so good.
He really got me with that one. Lucky Flickerman, you evil
for that.
Hilarious man.
Yes.
Walks up and drinks it and dies. But if it was Wovey that had done that.
Yeah, this... sweet little girl.
They were saving Wovey for the grand finale, though, of the ballad of not songbirds, but snakes.
The kids killing each other. But then something crazy happens. Sejanus, because his tribute, they found him before the game started. When he disappeared, they found him and they hung him up.
They strung him up there,
And he's dying. It's so sad.
Yes.
And so he is horrified, and that's when he has his freak out. And he's like, this is fucked up, whatever.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And then
you're monsters.
Yeah,
all of you.
Throws the chair. I was like, honestly, work. What?
I just, if I were like, imagine like a classmate of yours does that, I'd be looking at him like, bro, relax. It's
bro,
not
relax.
That serious.
I mean, it is though.
I know it is, but like, imagine like you're sitting there in class trying to do an assignment so that you can win a lot of money. And somebody goes, me, and throws it. I'm like, you're just doing that because you got lost, man. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, true. So he's kind of immediately out of the game. But his tributes, is he still alive at that point? He is, right?
He is because the District 7, I think, tribute with the axe just get mercy kills him.
Yeah, she was gnarly.
She
was gnarly.
I kind of wish she had gotten a few more of them, yeah.
So Janus sneaks into the games.
Yes, he does. Late at night because they've never lasted more than a day before.
Yeah, this is the longest they've ever gone.
And they're like, I love that phone call that we got in the movie with Lucky Flickerman calling his reservation, being like, we're going to have to delay it. I'm hosting the Hunger Games.
Like, I'm still here. I need a high chair for Stanley Tucci.
For Stanley Tucci? So not a good. High chair for Stanley Tucci.
Yes, he said the high chair. I was like, Stanley Tucci. So Janus sneaks in, and then is it Dr. Gall?
Dr. Gall is like,
go get your friend, Coriolanus.
This is your man?
Look
at the picture.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, okay, well, I guess I freaking have to.
You can do that now.
Yeah. And so he goes in and he has to get him out. And of course, chaos ensues. Mm.
He's like, Sejanus, come on. Sejanus is like, me. That's how I think he talks.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sejanus. I keep going Sejanus.
Sejanus, that's crazy.
It's a voice of habit.
But we forgot to say before Lucy Gray goes in the games, he gives her a mirror.
Yeah, no, that's not in the book, though, is it?
I don't know.
She found some other way to poison them. It's the handkerchief, I think, that actually gets them in the book. Yeah. So, and we'll get to the handkerchief in a second. But I can't remember if the poison was in the book or if that was some of that. Because I liked how they added that in the movie if it's completely different. Because I thought she poisoned some other way.
And one way or another, Rachel Zegler, Lucy Gray, is given poison to use. And so she has that in her little back pocket.
Yes.
Anyways, so Coriolanus has to go in, get Sejanus out. He gets kind of attacked. And then on the way out, he kills a kid.
Yeah.
But that's not on the cameras. They said cut the cameras, dead ass. Mm-hmm. It's not filmed. And so everyone's like, what happened? Why are we missing that? And everyone's like, la, 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 nothing.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. He got Sejanus out. Dr. Gall's like, good job. And then he's like talking to...
Good job.
And then he's
Dr.
talking
Gall's to... Gall's just the Grinch.
Yeah. I can't. What is it? Harry, whatever. Holly, Kobe, Waddy. So then he's talking to Dr. Gall. At some point, his friend that is bit by a snake and dies. Or not dies. Is she dead yet?
No, she doesn't die. No, she just gets kind of... Clementine, her is one of his classmates who kind of lies about it. It's like, we all work on projects together when it's just Oreo doing stuff.
Oh, right.
So there's this batch of mutated snakes genetically altered that Gall's been working on, and she makes one of them bite Clementine. Yeah. So
wild. And then that's when he realizes, he's like, oh, the snakes only bite people whose scent they don't recognize. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I gotta make these snakes recognize my girlfriend, my girl's scent. So he drops her handkerchief in there.
Yes.
Into the thing.
No, it's his handkerchief that he wiped her tears away with. So her tears and that scent is on that handkerchief. So he sneaks it in that big old vat because they won't attack.
Because he's like, I think she's going to dump this into the arena. I got to make sure they don't eat Miss Girl. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the games are going on. Children are dying. Poor Dill, unfortunately, is the reason why. Dies because of Rachel Zegler, because of Lucy Gray.
In the movie,
I think that is different in the book.
Yes, in the book, what I saw this on TikTok, so it could not be true. I don't remember. It's been so long since I read it. But in the book, it's Wovie that drinks the poison.
Which would have been, with this adorable little girl with Down syndrome, that would have been so.
That would have been irredeemable. I like the way they swap it up for the movie, though, because this big. One moment with her final line there.
Right. I think we should just go because we're truly going on and on and on. So we should just get to let's eventually. Kids start dying. Yeah. But there is that amazing moment that I want to touch on with the, is it Reaper? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Where he pulls the flag off and he takes all of the dead kids and he lines them up mm-hmm. and he covers them with the Capitol flag in such a moment of like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
And it is so good.
What else are you going to do to me? And Gull says, I took that personally.
Yeah.
I dropped a shit ton of snakes on him.
Dropped the snakes on them. The snakes. Ms. Poor Wovie walks out and goes, is it over?
Can we go home
now?
Gets Everyone's like, Wovie, run. And Lucky Flickerman got me again real quick with the, do you think it's candy?
Oh.
Not candy. Down goes Wovie.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Wovie. Rest in peace almost all of them, except Miss Lucy Gray. Because they recognize her scent. And I loved this moment when she's singing.
That was a really good.
Into the camera. She's like, oh, whatever that song was. Mm-hmm. It was so good. and then she wins.
She wins.
She ta-da. Wins. Yay.
And the movie ends. Ta-da. Just kidding. There's another hour.
Yeah. There's another hour and a half, bestie.
Fuck. Is that how long it is?
I was like, damn, we still got a lot more to go. Mm-hmm. When the Hunger Games finally ended, I was like, I know what's supposed to happen. How are we going to get there? And then we did. Yeah, she wins. It's not like in the Hunger Games we know and love from the original books where they
don't even win a prize. You just get to go home.
You just go home. Yeah.
Actually, that's the crazy thing.
It's crazy. And so she goes home. He's like oh, my girl, whatever. But
I get to win the prize now.
Yeah. Oh, well. So he's like so excited. He goes into the little office. He's like, I'm going to get my money. And they're like, LOL.
We know you cheated.
We know that you cheated.
Little bitch.
You're becoming a peacekeeper. We're going to send you to District 4. Or whatever. Yeah. And then he bribes the person who's sending him away. Goes, you're putting me in District 12 so he can find his little girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And so there he goes.
Off to District 12. And then?
And who does he see on the train?
Sid Janus. Himself.
Good job.
I did it. I said it right, guys. Okay.
He sees Sid Janus. So they're two boys going out.
Just two guys having fun.
Two guys.
They might kiss. Who knows?
I kind of get that vibe from Sid Janus.
I think Sejanus was probably pretty into Coria. Especially
I think so,
with,
too.
Who was the actor's name? Tom Blythe?
I mean, who isn't?
Yeah, surprisingly, a lot of people. That was a controversial. I said that the other day that I was like, he is a very good looking man. And everyone looked at me like,
I know.
I was like, hey, wait a minute, guys. Hold on.
I think he's
a pretty handsome fella.
They both are. So is Sejanus. The two anuses.
The anus.
They're so cute. Okay, anyways.
The ani.
Yeah. No, ew. They're going to District 12. And he's like, well, this is going to be my life now, I guess.
In 12. He fucking hates it.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. But one day he goes to see this band play, and it's none other than our girly Lucy Gray.
Oh, my God. Is that the 10th annual victor of the Hunger Games?
Boy, it is. And she's, like, singing her little song, and it's so cute, whatever. And so then they like, start hanging out.
A little smooching
romance
happens.
Ensues, which once again I don't think they actually loved each other.
I will disagree with that. Actually, I think they do love each other, but there's a key conversation that happens where trust is more important than
that's
love.
What I was gonna say. Okay, yeah, I think that they, I don't know if it was love really, I think that they were all each other had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah
Which,
by that logic, is what PETA and Katniss had if you know what I mean. So are you saying they didn't love each other?
No, I don't think
so. Hold
on
a second.
No. I think they're so different.
Mm-mm. I think it's very similar circumstances.
No, because, no, I disagree. Because Katniss and Peeta, they were on similar, you know, they're on the same page. Whereas Lucy Gray, what needed, like, you know what I'm saying? He was a powerful figure to her.
Oh,
and he knew that.
Yeah.
He knew that. She knew that. So it was a little bit more like Stockholm Syndrome, I think.
Okay.
But I understand what you're going on.
Yeah.
They ended up because of their circumstances. However, I don't think, I don't know about that one.
You don't know about that one?
Let us know your thoughts, everybody. Anyways. So she's the singer. She sings. Mm-hmm. He's
a peacekeeper.
He's a peacekeeper. He's keeping peace.
But Sejanus now.
Sejanus.
Is not keeping the peace, essentially. Mm-mm. He's talking with little potential rebel friends.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, how can we fix it? Because he's still in that mindset of the Capitol is wrong for doing it. And objectively, the Capitol is wrong. However, what are you doing, dummy? You can't be bunkmates with Corio and then also doing this
stuff. He just expects the best from Corio. He doesn't see him for who he is, which is so
sad.
He's
like, well, Corio's the guy who saved my life and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's like his only friend. They're all each other has.
And Corio the entire time is saying, hey, man, stop.
Stop.
Get some help. Mm-hmm. Please.
So Corio knows that he's up to something, does the most fucked up thing ever.
Yes.
And has a Jabberjay.
Because they're collecting all the Jabberjays.
They're collecting Jabberjays. Has a Jabberjay record, everything Sejanus says about the rebels and sends it straight to Dr. Gaul.
And that's his way of trying to get back in Gaul's good graces. Because Gaul has more push than pretty much anyone in the Capitol.
Right, because he's like, and I also think that the whole time Corio's like, this isn't my forever.
Yes.
I think that he, because everything has worked out for him so far. And he also is
he's a straight guy,
white man. And so, no offense. So I think he's like, the world will work out for me because it has to work out for me. So I don't think he thinks he's there forever, which is why I don't think it's so pure between him and Lucy Gray.
Their relationship is definitely doomed to fail from the beginning. But in regards to Sejanus, it's definitely his whole thing is it's not my fault. He's doing this to himself. And he actually does convince himself, if I'm remembering correctly, that his father's just going to bail him out again. Because his father always bails out Sejanus every single time. Whereas Corio's thinking, I can't fall back on that. You
right,
because
Corio
thinks
he's the hero. Corio thinks he's a sympathetic figure, like himself.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, because
he's a little baby.
He's going to victimize himself till the cows come home.
But also, I think there is some truth in that thought process of, you know, he doesn't have a rich and powerful father to bail him out once he gets in trouble for what Sejanus is doing.
I think so, too. Because I think in one hand, he's like, he's jealous of what Sejanus has. Mm-hmm. And so, he doesn't believe, you're right. I don't think he fully understands the consequences of his actions. Mm-hmm. But boy, do those actions have consequences. So he's having this little moment with Lucy Gray. Things are going on. And then he eventually gets told, oh, we're going to move you. You're going to become an officer.
Yeah.
We're moving you to District 1 or something like
Some of the earlier
districts. And he's like, oh, work. He's like, and he's like, this must have worked, you know, like Dr. Gaul must have gotten my whatever. Yeah. But Sejanus
still gets involved.
Are you coming to the tree?
You what?
Hey.
Okay. They're doing what at the tree?
LOL. And then that's when he gets hung, right?
Yeah. So they get some conspirators all rounded up.
Yep.
I think. In the movie, I can't remember if this was in the book or not, because I did not remember this at all, where the mayor's daughter ends up getting shot, too, by Corio and such.
Yeah.
I did not remember.
That part always, I'm just like,
there's a whole moment that kind of everything falls apart very quickly.
Yeah.
People get killed by some guns. The guns go missing with one of the culprits. Lucy Gray Barrett is the only other person who knows about it with Sejanus and Corio. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then Sejanus gets hung with one of the other culprits, and
yes,
the guns are still missing. So Corio is now freaking out because, one, Sejanus got hung. He definitely didn't mean for that to happen.
Mm-mm.
And while I don't think he's as broken up about it as
he could be,
he tries to trick himself into thinking.
Right.
He's mostly, because in his entire grief moment, it's like, oh my God, they're going to find me now.
when he's like crying because they got in his
everyone
chest.
Else. Yeah. It's no longer I got him killed. It's I'm next.
I think it's also just him realizing how serious the whole thing is.
Yeah,
like your friend died.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend is dead now because of what you did, and that like you said, that could happen to you next.
So he goes to Lucy Gray Baird because they're the only two left that
know what happened,
that know about it, and they're like, well, let's get the fuck out of Dodge before they find these guns and trace them back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because the DNA testing in this world is on point, apparently. It's amazing.
Well, it's the future, right? Miss. Technically, it's the future, but it just looks like it's like retro.
Yeah, no, I know it's the future. Yeah.
Yeah, so they must have...
Yeah, they got some
someone
stuff,
has got
yeah.
something somewhere. They're just not sharing it.
They book it out of there. Then they exit District 12 and start walking to this
They're like, we're
going to
run away together.
Mm-hmm.
Which... there's no way that's going to work out because Corio doesn't want that life.
He fucking hates the woods. And it's the entire time he's thinking, it's like, I hate these bugs. I hate this
tree.
He's
a
city
boy.
I hate the Mockingjays making all this noise.
Oh, not the Mockingjays. Yeah, he's a city boy through and through. They're going la, 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 la.
He was a city boy. She was a yeehaw girl.
Not a yeehaw.
A yeehaw.
Yeah.
That accent.
Period. And so then they come across this like cabin, whatever. Yeah, and like you said, they had previously had a conversation about for her, trust is more important than love. And so they're like,
they're walking on down through.
Yeah. They get into this cabin and he says, or right before they get to the cabin, he's like, oh, I'm so glad I'll only ever have to kill three people in my life.
Something like that. Cause she makes a joke about killing people. It's like, we won't have to kill anyone else. Three's enough for me.
And she's like, huh?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
do we got a sound for that? Do we got a sound for huh?
What the fuck?
I like that one. That's what Lucy Gray thinks. And
like, pause.
She's like, what are you talking about? Three.
You killed that one kid in the games.
And then that one person in that whole
You killed that one person, the mayor's daughter, I think.
Or the boyfriend.
The boyfriend.
Did he kill the boyfriend? Honestly, that part I'm always just kind of like, okay. One of them.
She killed one other person in there.
Yeah.
And then he's all like, I'm sorry, the old Corio can't come to the phone right now.
Why?
Because he's dead. Because he killed his old self.
Like, yeah, I killed my old self.
This professional liar, that was the best he could fucking come up with. Oh my, I thought of like eight other people.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I felt like I failed Sejanus. I couldn't save him.
Yeah,
like, I'd be like, I'm guilty of that one too.
Or like one time.
The other person who died in there too, be like, I basically killed them too.
Or like, you know, one time I was in a car and whoopsies. I don't know. It's literally anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else.
Apart from angstily just looks up.
My
old self.
It's crazy. It's giving like Anakin Skywalker moment.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Anyway, so she's like
comparing the two of those two now.
Yeah, it's a good comparison.
I don't know.
I think it's good to a point because
Anakin was inherently good though.
I know Anakin gets the
redemption.
Redemption. No redemption here, babe. But she's like, then that's when she's kind of like, girl, I don't think I know this guy as well as I thought. They get to this cabin, and she's like, I'm going to go dig up some Katniss.
Well, that's not what happens, because first he finds the guns is the key thing.
Yeah.
The guns are the only other thing left to trace the murders back to him and to her. And so he's thinking, hold on, we found the guns.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't
have
actually
to
have
back.
To leave anymore.
Yeah.
And
we can get
Lucy
rid of the guns
Gray
and
kind
go
of
back.
Like, oh, okay. Well, blah, blah, blah. And the movie did this much better than the book did, in my opinion.
It made it clearer.
Because it mentioned that loose end aspect, which
yes.
when I was reading this, this part kind of fell apart to me. I'm like, whoa, 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 what is going on? Because she realizes that she's the only loose end left besides the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he has the guns, she's all that's left to connect it. And so she wonders, he's not thinking that right now, because he's like, no, she wouldn't betray me or anything like that.
Because he thinks so highly of himself too.
But she knows that he's lied to her once already now.
Mm-hmm.
So she moves out to quote unquote, go get some Katniss.
Dig up some Katniss. He's like, it's too early for Katniss.
And
she's
that's weird.
I know.
We'll see.
I'm like, was that a little nod? Come on. 64 years too early for Katniss?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm the only loose end left. La, 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 la.
She's kind of like dangles that in front of him and then leaves.
And it's kind of wild.
No, it's done so well because and he's like, hey, Lucy Gray, where'd you go? Ha ha.
Yeah.
Where'd you go? And then he finds her jacket just kind of sitting there in the middle of the woods while looking for her, because she's been missing for a little bit now.
Yeah.
And then he starts thinking, no, she went, because the only thing that she could do now is if she ran back and reported him as the one who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And she could do that, and then she would get off scot-free probably.
Yeah.
So he picks up the jacket and the snake bites him.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's trying to kill me.
She's trying to kill me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And he's carrying a gun this whole time too. Yeah. And like, yeah, I don't think he was intending this, but now all of a sudden he's looking for her, screaming for her, chasing her, like
spiraling.
Who's gonna, that's it. We can't trust each other, blah, blah, blah. And it does it so well where he's shooting for her. And he thinks he gets her at some point.
Yeah.
But we never know.
But my favorite part during that though, is he's like yelling. And also, she like whistles. She does the, are you, whatever. Something.
She sings it is the difference.
She sings The Hanging Tree.
Yeah.
And then all of the mockingjays pick it up and he's like being surrounded by like a symphony of the mockingjays
of
singing
her voice essentially.
The Hanging Tree. And he's like freaking out. And he's like, he's like seeing like his life fall apart and he fully just loses it. Yeah. Shoots around. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of that.
That's that.
I saw a very interesting thing about the scarf that she picks up his mom, because that's his mom's scarf that she gave him, that she drops.
No, that he gave her,
That's what I meant to say. And that she drops. And there, it was so interesting, this thing I saw on Twitter, like, that's him turning away from, like, the kindness of his mom and embracing his dad, because his father, dad was bad, because he leaves, he abandons the scarf, picks up his dad's compass. And then moves forward with his dad's compass. I was like, whoa.
That's good. I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
I know.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then he goes back and he goes and does his, goes to take his position in District 1 or whatever, but they ended up just taking him back to the Capitol instead.
All the way back to the Capitol.
Yeah. And Dr. Gall's like, hey.
Good job.
You bet you thought she'd seen last of me. And he's like, she's like, I got a job for you. Like, I know that you did that, but also work. She's like, I see you for who you are, whatever.
Okay, player.
And then eventually we find out he's like kind of like moving on up. He's got this like hair.
Dude, oh my, he looks so good in that red outfit in the movie. Oh my gosh.
And he's like fully embracing his like fascist self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's great is that they didn't touch this in the movie at all, but he took back Sejanus's things to his father, who's like rich and influential.
I can't believe they left
kind
us
of
out.
Becomes the adoptive child of them.
He becomes their like surrogate Sejanus.
Even though he killed their fucking son.
It's crazy. I that was the thing I missed the most from the movie. Mm-hmm. And then during this, we find out that the reason why the Hunger Games exist is not because of Peter Dinklage's character,
Dean Highbottom.
Highbottom. It's because of Corio's dad,
who just took the idea and submitted it.
Because, the original idea for the Hunger Games came from Casca Highbottom because of a, like, school project. How can we keep the districts in line? Or whatever. And he's like, oh, this would be kind of fucked up. This is my report, whatever.
This would be crazy like, if kids killed wild. Each other.
And then Corio's dad's like, yes, wouldn't it be crazy? Yes. Takes the idea, submits it, and then it becomes whatever. So then Casca Highbottom, who we haven't really spoken about this whole time, but the whole time you're like, what's going on with this guy? Because he's like, just...
He's an
on
alcoholic
his little drugs.
And a druggie, yeah.
Peter Dinklage is always going to be the, like, morally good figure in a way that's, like, just fucked up by his circumstances and having to drink and know things.
Mm-hmm.
Or take morphine and know things. You know what I'm saying? But he like, tells him that. And then he's like, huh? Because the whole time, he, like, clearly cannot stand Corio.
Yeah, he fucking hates this guy.
Yeah, and you're like, why does he hate him so
much? He saw the Hunger Games, that's why.
Yeah, literally.
He saw the original series.
He saw Donald Sutherland and was like,
ooh, you nasty.
I hate that guy. And what does Corio do?
He poisons him,
which is what we know from the original trilogy.
He likes to do.
That he's off poisoning people and using the roses to cover up the scent of like
all the pustules and stuff like that.
Because he is not doing well eventually because of all the poison that he's surrounded by. He's like falling apart, so he has to wear all the roses. To like mask the smell of him like deteriorating from always poisoning people.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So good.
And then the ending shot of him like walking with the big statue in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. It's the same shot as in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is mine. I mean, he doesn't say that, but that's the vibe.
And then with that audio of Donald Sutherland, it's the things we love the most that destroy us. That was good.
It's so good. Damn.
I like that a lot.
Period. It's so slay. Okay, what do I have on here that I'm really a really interesting note is so that's the 10th Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
The 11th Hunger Games.
Mags. Yeah.
That's when Mags wins, from District 4.
District 4, Finnick's old granny.
Finnick's old granny. dang. I think that's something about Hunger Games is if Suzanne wants to write it, which she doesn't have to if she doesn't want to. She's given us a lot of content.
Which Hunger Games tribute would you like to see like a book written for?
Haymitch.
You want to see Haymitch's
I want to see the Quarter Quells. Mm-hmm. I want to see, because Haymitch's Quarter Quell is crazy.
50 tributes, yeah.
Because in case you guys don't know, the Quarter Quells are when they do like the crazy games version of the games. And in the 50th games, there were twice the tributes. Mm-hmm. And then do you know how the 25th ones were?
Yeah, I do.
The 25th Hunger Games, the first Quarter Quell, the people of the districts voted on which kid to go in.
It's so fun. Like that's so wild.
It's
to be like
crazy.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Do you think the Quarter Quell was something that was actually originally written, or is that something that Corio added?
I think Corio added.
I think a little bit later. And this was always the plan.
I think Corio added it, because Corio is the reason why it becomes the big spectacle that it is. And I think Corio is more responsible than anybody for the Hunger Games, even though it was his dad who wrote it and Casca Highbottom. It would have probably, I mean, not fizzled out, but it was a flop before he was the one who came in and made it this like drama moment that got the ratings and got everyone excited and everything.
What, this is a question I had for a while. What is your like, what would your version of a Quarter Quell be? What would you do to change it up?
I don't know. I haven't thought, you kind of sprung that on me. And I don't know. I don't have an answer.
I have a couple. Okay. Like one Quarter Quell would be like volunteers only, in that each district must have volunteers. If no one volunteers, no one moves from that area for a while. Or they have some way to compel volunteers, quote unquote. So that would be a cool one to do, because you know how people vote for it. Another one would be districts will team up or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it would be much more of like a team.
Okay, work.
Deathmatch type of thing.
That'd be scary. That's
a cool thing. Yeah, it's just something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it all seems to be the reaping that's different for the Quarter Quells.
Right. Yeah, how do we make it different in there?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Everything in the arena becomes different.
In space. I don't know. Okay, actually, here's a question. What is the rest of the world doing? Do we know?
The rest of the world is pretty much gone from a nuclear apocalypse for the most part. Yeah.
Okay. Work.
That's what I think. The establishment of the world is. We gotta do like a full Hunger Games.
Yeah, I don't know. Episode. I don't know if we know are supposed to have known. Yeah, we will. We will do that.
Rachel
eventually
knows,
with Rachel,
I guarantee you. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Okay, work. We'll do that because I don't know.
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. Okay. I have written here.
You've designed your own Hunger Games.
I designed
right?
my own Hunger
okay,
Games. Okay. Lineup.
Very excited.
And this
to hear
is what we'll close with. Do you have yours or no?
I didn't finish mine.
Just let me know your ideas.
Okay.
Okay. So my Hunger Games, the president, Rosalie Hale from Twilight.
Yes. Okay. That's what I thought.
She's
like,
a bitch.
Which one was Rosalie? I'm so sorry. I don't remember.
No, she's the mean, really pretty one. The blonde.
Gotcha. Yes, no. I know. The one who's with Jasper?
No.
No?
Emmett.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Jasper's the Confederate soldier.
Yeah. Battle scars.
Battle scars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So, yeah, Rosalie Cullen.
I was thinking Renesmee. That's why I was like, oh, do you want the baby design?
I mean, work. Okay.
So, my game maker was.
Yeah. This is my president.
Oh, your president. My
this
bad.
This is my president. Nothing but respect for my president, Rosalie.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Understood.
Do you have a president? Or no?
I didn't put a president. I started a game maker.
Okay, all right. We'll get there. Hold on. My host is RuPaul Charles.
Oh, that's
obviously. Great. Do you have a host?
I have hosts, yeah. It's, here, let me pull up my list. If you ever saw the movie Dodgeball.
Yes.
Underdog story.
Yes.
It's the guys who host the Ocho, Cotton McKnight and Pepper Brooks.
Oh my God, that's a good one. My announcers are Katya and Trixie. You know, the drag queens.
I know, that's just
Trixie
the
Mattel.
Hosts?
They're the announcers. No, that's not the host. Because, you know, we have the announcers who are like, it's okay.
I'm lost on this one. I didn't put enough.
There are announcers in these three, in the original ones.
Okay.
My game maker is Rumpelstiltskin, but from Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have fucked some people up.
I have Fred Jones.
Okay, work.
Scooby-Doo.
Okay, work.
He would just be making traps all over the place.
That's a good one. That's good.
The best one I saw was the Kevin McAllister one, though.
That was
oh,
a
my
really
God.
Good one.
That one was amazing.
Yes. My arena is the Bugs Life Theater, and may she rest in peace.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an arena?
I did not get an arena
either. You said
something
about an arena being underwater.
That would be a cool. Yeah, so like that's just like for Hunger Games designs in general.
Yeah.
Like one that's fully like submerged in water.
That'd be
or
cool.
Something like that is just a way to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
A haunted house is like a concept for Hunger
yes.
Games.
Yes.
There's always.
That's good.
so much. I'll let you finish your stuff up, though. Yeah.
For District 1, luxury, London Tipton and Jamie Tartt. Jamie Tartt being from Ted Lasso.
Yes.
District 2, masonry. So it would be the little kid that built his house, or the little pig that built his house out of bricks.
Yeah.
And then Korg from Thor. District 3, technology would be Wade from Kim Possible and Rihanna from Ocean's 8.
Okay.
I don't know her character's name. Sorry. District 4, fishing would be Aquamarine, the mermaid, and then Darla from Finding Nemo.
Okay, I do remember my District 4. It was Shark Boy and the Little Mermaid.
Okay, period. Period. District 5, power would be Grogu and Hunt Athalar.
Ooh.
Yes, thank you. District 6, transportation, Thomas the Tank Engine, and then Kristen Wiig in that one scene from on the plane from Bridesmaids. There's a colonial woman on the wing. District 7 is lumber, and my tributes are Johnny Appleseed and Groot.
Not Johnny Appleseed.
Yes, indeed,
come
with
on.
Groot. District 8, textiles would be Raven Baxter and James Charles.
Who's Raven Baxter?
Raven from That's a Raven. Raven Simone.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay, I only know it was Raven Simone. I forgot her last name was Baxter from the show. Okay.
And then James Charles, just because that'd be funny. District 9, for grain, my picks are Old MacDonald because he had a farm. And then Pearl from the movie Pearl. Did you see those? I'm married. District 10,
the
livestock.
The only person who could challenge Finnick with a trident.
Period.
A pitchfork.
Yes. Okay, District 10, livestock. This is for the Disney girlies. Clarabelle Cow and Horace Horse Collar for livestock.
That's the real star-crossed lovers story
there. Okay, District 11, agriculture. My Animals Crossing character would be my first one. And then Professor Sprout from Harry Potter.
Professor Sprout.
Yes. And then District 12, mining would be Doc, one of the seven dwarfs. And then Taylor Swift because she's bejeweled. And that's it.
You lost me with the Taylor Swift one.
I was
bejeweled.
Struggling with mining, but I'm like, I feel like Taylor Swift could
like any other dwarf.
No, it could only be one dwarf.
Only
they
one
wouldn't
dwarf?
Kill each other. They couldn't kill each other. I guess I would give drama. Like, make it like grumpy. Could probably take everyone's
grumpy
asses
and
out.
Doc. Yeah,
that's true, because you know there's animosity there.
Mm-hmm. Grumpy Period. Doesn't like Doc.
So yeah, that's my lineup.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I'll save mine for a full Hunger Games one.
Okay, period. Good idea.
I'll design like a whole thing.
Okay, good idea. Anyways, that was us talking about the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
That's the episode.
Thank you for listening to us. This was truly our first one, so we're trying to get our little footing. And I think we're going to do it like it's going to be an every other week situation because we're too busy people. So yeah. Anyways. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Alexander?
Thanks for coming on by. Do we know for sure what we're doing next time? Or
if you want to tell us what we're going to do, we'll do it.
Something next time.
Something. We'll let you
Who
guys
knows?
Know. We definitely want to touch on like Manacled, Dramione. We need everybody to get on the Dramione train.
Dramione train instantly. I have so like in weeks of the Dramione, honestly.
Right. And I think that's what we're the most famous for amongst our peers. And then we also want to do like the Moss universe, Sarah J. Moss, and like all sorts of things.
All the fairy smut, honestly.
We're going to do Twilight eventually. Possibilities are endless because once again, smut can be anything.
It's a way of life.
And smut can be for anyone, okay?
It is for everyone.
Right. You don't have to be into some crazy stuff. It can be for anybody.
We're not talking Ice Planet Barbarians here, right? We're talking...
Can I tell you what our friend texted me the other day?
Yes.
Really quick. This is what we'll close with. Crispy, this is for you. Crispy texted me and said, if Belle was on Book Talk, she would be into monster smut. And I said, you're right. You think that's a good way to end it? All right, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Monster smut, guys.
Monster smut.
Bye-bye.
Bye.